Down to Brass Talks. Good morning.
Good morning to you, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing? This is Patrick?
I'm fine. Yes, of course.
Good, good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful.
I see you in church clothes Sunday, man. I was impressed.
And on Sunday?
I saw a posting from you on Sunday and you were wearing church clothes.
Oh.
You went to church?
I go to church every week.
But okay. I never realized you were a church person.
Of course.
And his curses stink?
I didn't hear that.
And his curses stink?
No, Billy. You don't hear me. I don't curse. I don't think you have any video you would have heard from me. It doesn't have any curse word. That because a person a criminal or a fraud or a liar. I don't think that the words that we are.
I use colorful language sometimes, Patrick. But I ain't kind of. I use colorful language too. But you know.
No, not in the form of not in the form of.
Okay.
Of person, but we are not being polite. This morning, I want to speak to you on two issues.
Sure.
And again, the first one first, which is the Ministry of Transport Works and Maintenance that has now sought to pull back through a cabinet decision not to allow persons renewing driver's license or having new registrations provide any form of identification. I'm going to be honest this morning. I think that the government has gone in the wrong direction when they pull it back. Let me explain why I'm saying this. Yes, I understand that the government wants, this new administration wants to listen to the voices of the people. But at the same time, Peter, what we do not want is an incident that occurred with the former British Prime Minister that I resigned after the Brexit issue. What's his name again? Cameron.
Cameron, right.
David Cameron. Mm-hmm. You see, when you are leading people, you're going to lead from the front. Right? Now, let me explain something to you. The high levels of trickery and the high levels of fraudulent activity that's been taking place in this country on a daily basis, I think the government was on the right track. Peter, if I am coming to renew my driver's license and I'm required to submit or produce some form of a proof of address, there's nothing inherently wrong with that. I opened a bank account for my daughter when she had turned 18. She didn't have no form of letters coming to the house. I had to journey to a justice of peace, and the bank ensured that is what will happen, or I would not have the account open. So the justice of peace, who also lived in the community, verified that this is in truth. In fact, the person that he was seeking to represent in relation to the letter that he was about to produce, and I made my way to the bank and had the account open. You understand what I'm saying? So those persons who might have a driver's license, who might not have any form of correspondence coming to their homes in their names, all they need to do is to seek a justice of peace. We got a lot of justice of peace from this country, Peter. Seek a justice of peace, who will then write the letter to the Ministry of Transport and Works, indicating that Mr. Joe Blow, you understand, is a resident of, Silver Sands Christchurch, and he has resided there for the past
Patrick,
18 years.
Patrick, how does get issued, though? Move on to point two. No, because I find that a lot of people getting into having a puff about this thing. It's standard now. So it's standard.
I don't understand why the government pull it back. The government should stand by their word.
Well, right. And I agree with you. But I think it's enough for you to say that. But I find we get into a lot of conversation. This is standard stuff these days, you know, that you're going to prove that you're not a fraud. If they had these regulations proving that people were not frauds, we would not be in a lot of these situations that we in. We had too much frauds knocking about.
That is true.
As you well know.
It brings me to my second point.
Right?
Now, on the 8th of January 2015, the Nation newspaper with its headline, Nigerian Students Speak Out. In the company is a character in the person of David Commerson. Spoke to the conditions for which they were living in while they were at a location in St. Philip. You remember the Nigerian
school?
Good. good, good. Now, recently, and I must commend, I want pause to commend the Prime Minister of this country for her humanitarian approach as it relates to the stranded students for the Washington University. I must commend her for her approach. But the problem I'm having, Peter, in this country, is that somebody's feet must be held to the fire. Let me explain why I'm saying somebody's feet must be held to the fire. Now, it was recorded in the press by comments made by the Prime Minister of Barbados, the Honourable Mayor Moore Motley, that the Chief Immigration Officer was advised against this character. Somebody must now explain for the people of this country why, having sound advice from the Chief Immigration Officer, why we have now ended up in this. The next thing, Peter, because we have all up here, don't want to deal with a lot of things in this country, right? And they're saying that somebody's feet must be held to the fire, right? The Barbados Accreditation Council has the sole responsibility for accrediting these offshore universities and so on. I have in my possession, Peter, a document that if any of the former members of the administration want to disprove me, I intend to place it at the disposal of the people of this country. A document that clearly states that this university was not fit and proper to conduct business in this country. We had some very serious business in this country, no, Peter. Very, very serious business in this country. The next thing, is that the health and fire safety certificate. Somebody must come forward and tell them, come in, or you're going to embarrass them. The health and fire safety certificate, Peter, they must explain how it was that at this location in St. Philip, these things were being able to be issued when certain criteria were not met. Somebody must explain this for me. Yeah. I know people, all people in this country looking for free money, but as a student of the law, I'm not going to allow the station to run itself into trouble.
Yeah, so I will frame my language.
But the point I want to make, Peter, is that the Nigerian students suffered the same fate. Why it is that at this particular location, that the certificates issued had not met the criteria. We can't got one law for the means in this country, another for the person. And anybody who wants to challenge me this morning is free to challenge me, because I can produce the documentation to prove in this country, Peter, that the health and fire safety certificate has not met the criteria in this country. How can we in good conscience, Peter, entertaining offshore schools and colleges in this country, and that no one seem to believe that there is a criterion that must be met and that must be gone through in order for the facilitation of such? I am calling on this new Mill administration, as it seeks now to entertain the university coming from Dominica, not to fall into the same foolishness. And that they must use every opportunity to ensure. And I have all confidence in the Prime Minister of this country. And I know that she will single-handedly, if she has to ensure that the egg don't come all over her face. The point I want to make, Peter, the point I'm making this morning, is that the taxpayers' money that has to be used, and I want to thank the Honourable Minister responsible for the elderly, the Honourable Cynthia Ford, who also came to the assistance. We will not now be spending our money, the very little that we now have, having asked our citizens to make some enormous sacrifices. We will not now have to be channeling money in their direction to accommodate them until their fate. The hurdle they come over the hurdle that they are knowing.
Patrick, what you are speaking about, are different aspects of bad governance. We have been talking today a lot about the Treasury bills fiasco, right? Mm-hmm. What you're talking about now is a fiasco in relation to education. And I'm saying that in all instances, you're looking at maladministration, you're looking at bad governance, you're looking at government that doesn't seem to understand the role it is supposed to play as a regulatory agency in relation to health and safety and all other kind of things. And I agree with you 150%. Questions need to be asked of the former administration in the context of the Minister of Finance regarding this Treasury bill fiasco, in the context of the Minister of Education regarding this education fiasco. And I do not agree that it is enough for you to say, you know what, I'm a private citizen. No. We need facilities in Barbados whereby you can hold a person or disapprove. They have to either say on whose instructions they are approving or disapproving. And it's foolishness. I also wonder, Patrick, why it is that it seems as though everything that go up at that place is being problems. Because if you're having problems with one school that was, I think it was advanced levels that they were offering or associate degree, you have problems with students from Africa that had some issues out there. And you send more people out there again. You open a university out there.
But does he point?
I ain't disparaging nobody because, you know, I mean, I went up at the place myself and I've never had any problems with it. You know, I went up there socially. But my question was that, is it really the kind of infrastructure that's suited for that type of purpose?
I told you just now that I have in my possession, and I visited. I want to come forward to challenge me. As it relates to the health and safety certificates, tell them come and challenge us, ballers in this telecom, because that people sitting down in this country and allowing this nonsense to happen. I'm calling public service in this country too. You know, I believe that we must bring some kind of legislation to protect them. That when in their capacity, Peter, as top civil servants in this country, holding top posts in this country, make certain recommendations and ministers of the Crown want to override it, ensure that you put it in black and white. Tell the minister up front to put this in black and white for me. Stop worrying about the mortgage you got and the car you got to pay for, and clear your name, because what is essentially going to happen is that the buck sometimes they stop at the public servant. It is here that the public servant do this and the public servant do that. And in most instances, sometimes they are forced down a path for which they don't want to tread. That's the problem that we have in this society. Because we can't got one set of laws for the meat speed and one for the purchase. We cannot do it.
Yeah.
Can't do it. How Peter can he arrive in this country?
He can eat the same rice.
He can eat the same rice
that he was serving other people. Is he saying anything that he can eat? Patrick, thanks a lot for calling. It was good chatting. This is Dr. Brass Talks 4341790. Welcome back to Dr. Brass Talks 4341790. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, is this Mr. Peter?
Yes, sir. This is Peter.
Hi, well, I'm nice to hear you. You know, while sitting here listening, though, something crossed my mind. I thought it would be useful if each talk show host would calling occasionally, because then you get a very good gauge of what happens on the other end.
I mean, calling?
Yes, like, let's say if you're calling as an ordinary person like myself.
And see how long you got with it.
Not only that, you hear the long, long pleasantries and other stuff. I'm not saying they're good or bad, but then you get a gauge of how well.
You don't like the pleasantries? Going.
No, I didn't say that. I don't usually engage in them because I like to get to the meat of the thing. But why I say this is because you get some distractions, and some can be very good. Mm. Take, for example, you read a letter this morning, and I listened to that letter very carefully, and I knew instantly who the author of it. You said economist. I already knew when the letter was being read it was an economist, and I quickly figured who it was, because that person is very level-headed.
You know who it is?
The person is very level-headed and balanced, and I agree 100% with what they are saying. But there are other things that have to be put in this mix, you know, because here it is, we are in a dire situation, and there are things that are not being put into this mix. I have raised it once or twice. Now, I raised the question of the capital works, which invariably ends up in being road building and things of that nature, schools and whatever. The point is, I have looked at, there's a certain parish in this country that had a lot of the roads done for election purposes. And I look at the thickness of the asphalt. Sometimes little more than an inch and a half, which will, of course, come off at the next rainfall. So what I am saying, although we are in this situation and we're dealing with macro items, we must look at these little micro things, because if you're going to spend $50 or $100 million in building roads that are only going to last 6 months, that is a wastage of money. My little experience with asphalt work, and I did some training in that. I had to in my occupation. You have to fix your foundations first, one. Two, you have to use a top, but the foundations, and then you use your top coat, and then you put on a certain thickness of asphalt at a certain temperature, and you roll it at a certain temperature. Otherwise, it will quickly come off again, and you'll waste your money. The other thing about that is we have a problem with utilities. That is something that has to be solved. Otherwise, you're going to fix the road, do everything right, and then along comes the water people or the electric people or whoever, and the road gets dug up again. So I'm saying if we're doing capital works program, for heaven's sake, let us be conscious of these things and do not waste the little the scarce resources that we have. But, Mr. Peter, having said that, the real thing that I wanted to talk about this morning, I heard on the news something about agriculture. And you hear so much about agriculture. And one thing you don't ever hear any of the political parties the government's talking about, what is the policy on the those creatures, the monkeys, who plunder the final product? What I'm hearing is that we have destroyed their habitat and we should plant some food in the gullies and so on. But there are a lot of people out there who are soon going to be out of work. And if you do planting in the gullies, they are going to plunder the gullies also. So what I'm saying is we have to develop a policy to deal with this problem of the monkey. This is a very real one. You cannot tell people, oh, you should do kitchen gardening and do all these things, and then when you finish doing your kitchen garden, you have a good feel of whatever it is, and along comes a flock of 30 or 40 monkeys, and they wipe out your crop. It doesn't encourage anyone to engage in agriculture. And really, agriculture is one of the things that's going to save our country. If you look around and you see the growing number of people who are having to stay at the roadside, selling homemade fruit juices, selling any fruit that is in season, and doing this, you will realize that agriculture is going to become crucial to whether this country survives or not. And so I'm making an appeal that government comes out and tell us, are we going to do something about the monkey? This is what we're going to do. We're going to let them run loose because we love them for the tourists, or we're going to cull them or something. But I think it's about time. It is about time that whoever is responsible comes out and makes a definitive statement, because you cannot talk about agriculture and ignore the presence of those predators.
Okay. All right, sir. Thank you for your contribution. I appreciate its exhaustiveness in dealing with this key agricultural issue. Of course, you know, I'm not really the person for agriculture. I think I might probably prefer the monkeys over the fruit that they eat. So, anyhow, that was the Brass Talks. Good morning.
Mr. Wickham?
Yes, sir.
I hear listening to you in complete and total amazement.
Really?
Yes.
What I'm amazed about is this is the first time I've had an opportunity to speak to you. I noticed that you pick and choose your moderators, and you seem to prefer David.
Which
is not a problem.
I have been raised by my paternal grandmother, and she always tells me to choose my company. Right. Let me tell you something.
Who is your paternal grandmother, though? Just out of curiosity.
A proud white Bajan from down in Newcastle, St.
John. So you're a white Bajan?
Absolutely. I'm proud of it, too.
And you're from St. John?
St. John, yes.
Okay.
Let me tell you something, though. You don't go into my background.
You voted for Arabar?
Excuse me?
You voted for Arabar?
Let me get on my point. You don't mind my background.
But I'm curious to know who you are, because you call the program and you engage on issues passionately, I should add. And I think that the contributions you made are by and large very constructive, but I'm curious to know more about why you are unwilling to identify yourself, you know, so that we can call upon you when we need the DLP represented.
Mr. Wickham,
yes, sir.
Let your curiosity come to an abrupt halt at this point.
But then come to an abrupt halt? Father, yes, you are answering me as I am even more curious.
Well, you can carry on with your curiosity.
You got to say
that. I call to say this to you.
Mm-hmm.
All of the talk about the apology, because you are now the apologist in chief of the Labour Party.
That's what you said yesterday.
Trying to absolve the Barbados Labour Party and its leadership from taking an uncaring, irresponsible, short-sighted, and reckless decision to disadvantage those pensioners and to plunge them into almost poverty. And now you are trying to take the blame off of the Barbados Labour Party administration and put it on the Democratic Labour Party. But the Democratic Labour Party never 1 minute in there since they've been in an administration.
You never what?
Denied paying the people their monies. Mm-hmm. It is this administration who is doing it.
You said it was merciless?
Merciless,
yeah.
And punch them.
You used a word yesterday that I thought was interesting, too.
What was the word?
It was an M word in terms of the vicious and nasty way in which the government took away the earnings of poor pensioners.
And those descriptions really fall short of how they should really be described.
Yeah, no, it's clear that, as I said, the passion in your voice is clear that you feel.
I have to be passionate. Yeah. I have to be passionate, yeah. Because when I sit by and see how Barbadians are disadvantaged, when most of these people who are being disadvantaged went to the polls on the 24th and voted solidly for the Barbados Labour Party.
But not you, though.
I certainly didn't.
Right. Yeah, I know.
I certainly didn't. But how are they being recompensed for their loyalty to the Barbados Labour Party by being savaged by every single policy decision that the Barbados Labour Party is making?
You got both me and Dennis laughing at the language, my gosh. Savage them.
They did. As a matter of fact, if they looked themselves in the mirror today, they could not recognize themselves from the person before the 24th. I tell you, and you are making apologies for them.
I'm making apologies? I let you speak.
I'm trying to pass the blame to the former administration. Well, the former administration met all of the obligations. This is why I stay here in Newcastle, St. John, and I can't see the kind of worthlessness that is going on in this country. Really. I go, man.
But why you running away and let you speak? And I wish you would call and speak longer and more frequently. I am not engaging you largely because I am not convinced that the vast majority of people in Barbados is taking you on. Because, you know, you're singing a song, and as I said, it's a line that you came with yesterday. The language you're using is very emotive, but fundamentally the point that you're making is not one. Look, you cannot convince me that this problem started on the 24th of May. I am not convinced. And I don't believe that there's any large number of people out there that are convinced either that what we are now seeing is a reaction to one of the worst periods of governance that we've ever had in the history of this country, and it's as simple as that. So you will use all the muscular language and all the passionate talk or whatnot. Call on the program. You're welcome to call anytime, and you have full reign to speak, but the point of the matter is that you are not preaching to an audience that will be converted by and large. The Democratic Labour Party needs to grow their support. I don't understand the strategy. I don't understand it. You are not going to win friends and influence people by speaking in a language that you have just spoken. You're not going to. Down to brass tacks. Good morning.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Wickham.
Morning, how are you doing, sir?
Not too bad, and you?
I'm great.
A couple of things here, Mr. Wickham. First, I want to remind Patrick King that you don't put confidence in a mortal man because he sometimes is going to fail.
Who you put confidence in?
You have to put confidence in somebody immortal, and that's God. That's your person. You should put confidence in.
So who I can put confidence in then?
I have nothing to do with what you put confidence in.
Okay.
I heard you last weekend. The Christian community was quite annoyed with your behavior last week.
Of course. You know how many times there's to be annoyed with the Christian community?
But I have a problem with it also.
Oh, you have a problem with them also?
Yeah, but I haven't got...
What's your problem with the Christian community?
I don't have a problem with Christian community. I have a problem with you.
You have a problem with me when it comes to Christian community? I understand that. I have no problem.
Right.
Because, you know, this is the place where we can sort out problems that we have with each other. And I think the fact that you have problems with me and I have problems with the Christian community, it helps to keep people listening. So
I want to...
Let me hear some of the problems you have with me.
Listen, one of the members of the UP asked me to ask you, what is going to happen when your body, your soul is going to separate?
One of the members of who said that?
The UPP asked me to ask you.
Was UPP?
Yeah.
Was UPP the party?
Yeah. What is going to happen to you when
the party has a Christian band?
Some of them.
Okay.
What is going to happen to you when you're right out there?
You saying anything that's going to happen to you? You're going to probably go in Westbury and rot. I plan to be cremated. So that's what happens to my body. I go, hopefully, I will go to a cremation location quickly. I am happy to have science use whatever aspect of my mortal remains that they feel could be useful. And thereafter, the rest can be cremated.
And is that the aim?
Pretty much.
For you? Not
there's something else?
For me, that's not the aim.
Okay, so what happens when your mortal remains, when you take your last breath?
That mortal body dies.
And then what happens?
Or like you say, get cremated. Mm-hmm. Then after that, you have to leave the soul, that one day.
Okay. And where does your soul go? It goes up
that
to heaven?
That determines how you spend your life on earth.
Mm-hmm. Well,
good. The other point...
I say this to you, sir, that if that is what you feel, I have no difficulty. I think most people in Barbados feel the same way that you do. When you get to the pearly gates and you meet St. Peter, and you do realize that my name is Peter, and it is not by accident, you may very well be surprised some of the people that you see at the same pearly gates that may be ushered in, and some of the people who may be ushered out.
No. It was not up to me to be surprised about that. I remember talking to
but you are sure that you will be ushered in?
No, I'm not sure about that.
But no, I'm saying if you feel that you will be ushered in and you live your life in a way that will allow you to be ushered in, then all power to you. The fact that I am not concerned about whether St. Peter likes me or not, or whether St. Peter is real or is a figment of my imagination, should not impact negatively on me and the way I live my life on this earth. And I think that is what I am more concerned about, the way that I live my life and the way that you live your life and the way that we treat our fellow man. And that's part of my conversation that I would want to advance.
But I remember when you used to have a program at your station, the female moderator, she said at the time that...
Because she believes in God.
She has nothing against you, but she has something against your behavior.
But Madonna problem, I didn't care what she got. I mean, she has no impact on my life. But I'm saying that she was on the program as a professed believer, and I respect her right to do that. And I think that you guys need to also respect my right not to be a believer.
I agree with that.
Right.
The second thing has to do with...
We were talking religion today.
No, I'm not going to waste a lot of time talking about that today.
But in a waste of time, religion talk is not a waste of time. That is a productive use of time.
No, I don't have that much time to talk about today. I have an appointment at 1 o'clock. The other thing has to do with you.
But if you had a point that was a clear point in response, I would think you would be able to put it on the table quickly. Because is it not an important part of Christianity that you go out and save souls?
I'm not a preacher, sir.
No, but that's part of the communion of saints has to be expanded.
I leave that for the pastors, the preachers, and the reverends to do that.
All right.
The other thing it has to do with your behavior again towards the Democratic Labour Party via the Barbados Labour Party.
Christians and Dems.
I realize for years now that Mayor Motley seems to be, coffee seems to be sweetening you. But look what we had at election time.
Mayor Motley coffee seems to be sweetening me?
Yeah.
Why don't take sugar in my coffee?
But you can have coffee with or without sugar, so it doesn't matter.
Okay.
Good. We were given...
You said that you realized for a few years that her... You saying that you realized for a few years that I seem to prefer Mia Motley to the former prime minister?
By far.
But sir, that rocket science?
By far.
Sir, there is little question in anybody's mind that I did not have a lot of use for the former prime minister. I wrote it. I said it. You know, I mean, how much more convincing could I be?
But the point is...
But the point of the matter is that Mia Molly is not the only person that I was sweet on. There was a time that I was sweet on Chris Sinclair too. You would recall?
Yes.
Right. And the fact that the 70-something percent of Barbadians rejected the former prime minister suggests that I am not alone in that regard.
This is the point I'm against.
Right.
Did they really vote for Mia Molly or did they vote for...
It don't matter. They voted against Fernandez Stewart.
The vote against
Fernandez Stewart. Right. There's a combination of factors, and I think that it's fair to say that there were people who voted for Mia Motley and there were people who voted against Fernandez Stewart. experience. And the amalgam of that, what I would call in scientific terms push and pull factors, would have resulted in the kind of landslide that we are seeing. And I would say to you, sir, as a scientist, that invariably political landslides of the order of what we have seen are a result of both factors. It's not just that people like Mitchell. It has to be that they like Mitchell and they intensely dislike the alternative to Mitchell. Mm-hmm. Whether it be Tillman Thomas, you know, or the current,
I agree.
Right, and that's generally speaking how it goes.
But I tell you honest truth, I was really disappointed at the last election when the Prime Minister lose his seat, because Humphrey, the boy know about Humphrey.
I mean, the boy know about Humphrey.
I don't know about him. A man like that big Chris, who is he? Then you had the, I don't know, Dr. Sonia Brown.
But if it is that Sonia Brown could beat
Michael Ashley,
right? If this guy Neil Rowe could beat Chris Sinclair and Kirk Humphrey could beat Prime Minister Stewart. Now, I am not agreeing with you for 1 minute that either of them are lightweights. But let's say for sake of argument that they were lightweight and they were able to beat all of these people. It says volumes about the extent to which people dislike those individuals. You don't find?
Of course, I can't agree. Agree with that. But this is what I was telling you, PP. I told some members of the solution, but it's now that some of the members are left. It would better to some solution members join up forces with the UPP, bring a stronger team, because Lynette Eastman right now is one of the most popular leaders of these current parties.
Based on what?
Based on the last...
So Lynette Eastman and cumulatively there were people who got more votes than her?
You have to start somewhere. You can't start at
100,000.
Oh, come on, man. You expect a fella honestly running for Barbados there, right? As a matter of fact,
on this trajectory, when is Lynette Eastman going to win a seat and when is the UPP going to win a government? On your assessment of based on where they started in the last election.
It might not happen in my lifetime or your lifetime. But it's a possibility it could happen.
But how ain't gonna happen? Because if it ain't happen in your lifetime or my lifetime, she ain't gonna be alive neither.
She's much younger than I. I don't know about you.
She I believe she's in my age group. So if it don't happen in my lifetime, well, she would probably be dead too. So I don't understand.
She might not be the leader. Don't forget to have.
So you think like that Crystal. You and me gonna dead and she gonna be alive?
No, but I have a people like Crystal and a couple more young people in that organization will take.
You sure that Crystal gonna be in UPP by the time the next election comes?
I don't know. Oh, she planned to join the Barbados Labour Party?
I don't know.
But the Barbados Labour Party...
I would encourage her to join the DLP.
But no. I would prefer then if she stayed with the UPP, because in the Barbados Labour Party, there seems to be a lot of guests. Sanders say brought these guests earlier this time than before.
So therefore,
Santa Claus.
The DLP.
The BLP?
No, I'm talking about the DLP, the Democratic Labour Party.
What's happening to
the DLP? She should join the Democratic Labour Party.
It would be a white choice.
Right.
It would be she and...
There's and another problem with that. It would make sense.
Yeah, Susan Corbin, a lot of them. I suspect also, too, that this last year for Cindy Ford was one which she was given a basket of fruits. That's by the ministry. It's the ministry of empowering people and looking after the needy. Now, this is where it gets a bit funny. You put a minister to look after the needy, which in the next couple of years... That temporary minister would have somebody to look after her. You see how jokey we are about this? I could call this a comedy for two. Written and produced by Peter Wickham. Directed by Mia Motley.
Sir, you can sit what you like here. Carry on. You can sit what you like.
You have a nice day.
Thanks a lot. You have a nice day too. Somebody was saying to me, it's so fascinating that the Christians and the Dems are being associated. Apparently they've been similar for the last 10 years. And I agree that this seems to be the reality that we're seeing. I can't tell y'all who we are, who was telling me this, but unfortunately, but yeah, it's true. The Dems and the Christians all together as one. Dr. Brass Stocks, good morning.